Government spends 22% more on local contractors in the past 2 years, even though a tough budget climate and sequestration have impacted bottom lines. Lexi Kessler is partner in charge of the government contracting practice at Aronson and my next guest on Industry Chatter today. She says there is still room to grow if you take advantage of the right opportunities. You're calling this concept, Lexi, GovConomy, and I think it's terrific. Adaptation, easy for me to say, is one of the things, though, that you're advising companies should think about, right?
That's correct. And what it is, we kind of joke around, it's not your government, your father's government contracting firm anymore.
Yeah.
The fact that how you have to do business with the government is very different. And it's really taken on more of where you have to behave like a more traditional commercial organization. And the best example I can give of that, for example, is like, you know, our firm is a professional services firm. And our customer just doesn't have to be the federal government. They're commercial organizations. But when you're a government contractor, how you need to go to market needs to change. And it's kind of like the business fundamentals when you were in college, you know, that you learned what to do. And it's taking those fundamentals but applying them in today's world with social media and using different avenues and different aspects to differentiate yourself with thought leadership and why a contracting officer should choose you.
So you sent me some observations that you're seeing in industry right now, and they fit very well with a lot of the observations that I'm hearing from the vendors themselves and hearing from other people who work with the vendor community, shrinking market, flat spending, or reduced spending. You note that that's the new normal. And, of course, as we're watching the authorization bills and the appropriations bills, for some agencies especially, it appears to be particularly difficult. What's that mean for the companies that are trying to do business with the government? I imagine it means at some point some of them might not be doing business with the government anymore.
There's no question, and we are seeing that, unfortunately. You've got some companies that have been able to be steady eddies, so to speak, didn't really try to innovate or do something different with the work that they were doing, or the programs perhaps just weren't as important in the government's, you know, the agency's bigger picture of where they're going to be doing their spending in the future. So companies had to anticipate the changes that were going to be happening in the marketplace, and those that just weren't agile enough to be able to adjust or anticipate are the ones that are seeing significant challenges. And there's no question it's been difficult with LPTA, the lowest price technically acceptable. There's incumbents that were blindsided on recompetes. So a lot of that has occurred. But I was so happy to see with that statistic that you mentioned at the opening of our conversation was the companies in this area, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, are getting a bigger piece of the pie, though. And that's how they're going to market. It's that they're changing what they're doing. And that's a very good positive sign that we see.
Do we have a sense of why that is? Because that strikes me as counterintuitive.
It does. We were actually surprised when we saw the statistic ourselves. And so now these are companies that are headquartered in this area. So they could possibly have some employees at remote locations or elsewhere in the United States. But the headquarters is still here. And so what we are seeing, though, is there is this area is growing from a cyber perspective, for example, the technologies that are being used. You are seeing a wave of the next generation of business owners beginning to come into the marketplace that want to do business differently.
What does that mean for the what does that mean for the landscape of the market, though? Because I think that's important to consider. I see when I go to events, industry events, I see a lot of the folks that I've seen for a while, but I do see new faces that, with all due respect to them, look like they're really trying to figure out how all of this works. I have no doubt about their ability to lead companies and to produce terrific results for the government, but it's the, I guess, the back office part of it, for a lack of a better term. How do we do all of this government contracting stuff to actually get the work in the first place?
Well, that's where the BD piece comes into play, and having program managers that you're motivating to be innovative in how they're applying the technologies, what technologies are available. But that's a catch you have to be careful about, because at what point do you invest in technology before it becomes obsolete and you've invested too much and then it's changed on you? So that's a real fine line to have to draw. But companies are leveraging technologies faster, and you know, I think that with my generation, not so much this next generation, it's you had a process and you followed it. And you still have the process from the procurement angle. I'm not trying to say imply that that's changed. But as far as when you do the work and how you do that proposal and how you make yourself look different, that's definitely changing.
Lexi Kessler's government contracting practice partner for Aronson, and looking at what's going on in industry and how to strategize, optimize, and realize for success. Three excellent points in the notes that you sent me, Lexi. And you write that contractors are adopting more commercial organization practices. What do you mean by the organizational practices?
So what we're seeing most commonly right now is really investment in business development. You know, you really didn't have, you had a bit of proposal shop historically, and now it's business development, and it's going and meeting that customer and understanding the customer needs and perhaps tailoring a service offering to solve their problem as opposed to just waiting for the contract to come out. Do you know what I mean? That difference
yep.
in the mindset?
Yes.
And I think that we're seeing a lot more of that and the need and, you know, the opportunity, you know, not that there really was a budget that was passed and it's going to go probably to a continuing resolution again in the fall, but you are seeing where companies are wanting, they are getting more creative and making themselves different. And they didn't do that before. As long as they did a good job, their price was okay, you know, their accounting back office systems were fine as far as, you know, reimbursement of costs, they could be a successful company. And it's shifted now. And you are correct in your earlier comment that companies will go by the wayside that don't react to this or be more proactive in how they approach the business.
And that fits another point that you made, that contractors must differentiate. And I imagine what you mean by that is really get good at better than they've ever been before at explaining their USPs.
Correct. Right. What's their story? Why? And with a tighter overall budget and a shrinking budget that's occurring, contracting officers are getting, or the government officials are getting more and more proposals for every procurement that's out there, right? Because companies are going after more because they need to.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as many dollars out there. So if they have to go through a couple hundred proposals, you have to stand out, right? Or they have to know who you are and why you're different, or you're just not going to be able to compete.
You write about maximizing shareholder value for consolidation and M&A goals. Has that historically been part of a company's strategy? How are we going to fit into a consolidation M&A landscape? Or is that something that is just starting to be part of the landscape given where we are today?
Well, it's something that did exist certainly prior to 2008 before the economy tanked. And it kind of went on the wayside a little bit. And you saw some, you know, sporadic strategic acquisitions that were occurring, but it was significantly less in volume than we had seen in previous years. Well, because there is some budget clarity that did occur, and what's happening now is that these smaller companies that have a technology or have an in with an agency and already have a relationship, strategic buyers are going after and acquiring that as opposed to developing in-house because they can get to market faster with that.
Lex,
it's a significant shift we're seeing.
I mean, no disrespect to my friends in the business development community, because I think that by and large they do a terrific job. But it strikes me that that might be an area that's ripe for disruption. And if there's some, I don't know exactly how, but it seems like an area, as you sort of referenced earlier, where people have been doing things a certain way for a long time, and those are the kinds of places in the rest of the economy that we see disruption affecting that. Do you have any sense that there's anything on the landscape, and I'm not asking you to pick out one technology or process or application or another, but just do you see anything on the landscape that indicates that either companies are thinking about how do we disrupt this, or that there is a disruptor out there to say maybe we have a better solution to this that works better for the companies?
Oh, I think you're definitely going to have some true entrepreneurs, especially in that next generation, that there are, they don't have the boundaries that the older generation grew up with. And there's no question. I mean, we see it just, you see it in the commercial marketplace even. I mean, we see it sometimes with competitors. There are no boundaries to some respect of how they want to go and present themselves or create something that's different or new or exciting, and that it's a tool that can be used. What you are seeing a little bit more is if it's not just perhaps a government application, but a commercial application for their technology as well to diversify so that they're a little bit safer in their development.
The companies that you talk to, do you get a sense from them that they believe the government when the government says we're more interested than we've been before in commercial solutions?
I'm not completely sold on that just yet. I think that there is some perhaps disconnect on what the industry sees the government or thinks that the government needs versus what the government really needs.
Mm.
And I do believe that there's a gap in that communication that does need to kind of align itself a little bit better. And I think if we could ever get past, you know, budget it's being hung up in the politics of it, to be able to focus on the programs and what the government needs, I think that communication could start to happen more efficiently and more effectively.